Morning, Micah. So we're reading Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 13 from the NIV. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I thank the Lord that we all have breath this morning. In Psalm 150, verse 6, it says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." So therefore, if you're breathing, give God thanks. My topic today looks at what it means to walk with Christ, and also the secrets we learn as a result of walking with Christ. And by way of illustration, I'd like to share something with you. Sometimes, we rely on our feelings and on what we see and hear. We look at life horizontally. Walking with Christ by faith allows us to look at our circumstances vertically. By looking vertically, we see what God sees regarding us. David walked down into the valley of the shadow of death to meet Goliath. David saw the giant Goliath, armed to the teeth, casting a long, ominous shadow, dressed to kill, literally. He also heard Goliath's boastful, intimidating threats. Anyone would have shaken in their boots under such circumstances, let's be honest. But by looking vertically, by faith, David saw what God saw. And after that, there was no doubt in David's mind that victory was certain. This is walking by faith. You see, David at no time ever thought he was walking alone. When your senses tells you that something is impossible, or there is no way out, ask the Lord for his opinion. What has all this got to do with the book of Philippians and the examples of Paul? Everything. I'll pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. Let this be your word, not mine. Let all who hears truly listen with their hearts that they are blessed and transformed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Share a slide with you. Okay, we're talking about walking in step with Christ. Walking in step with Christ. The word walk in the Bible, the spiritual walk, is a metaphor for living in submission, reliance on, and in coordination with the Spirit of God. In other words, walking in step with God's word. And some thoughts about walking together. Walking with someone involves agreement, coordination, the same direction, the same pace, conversation, fellowship, and a shared destination. This is a description of the spiritual walk. For I've learned, Paul says in Philippians 4, reading from 11 up to 12, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And I'll stop there. Two points here, two observations. First of all, Paul says he's learned something, which means he didn't know that something prior to this point. I believe what he's learned is something that he's learned on his walk with Christ. And secondly, Paul says he's learned the secret. Now, with secrets, very few people are party to it. And if Paul has a secret and is sharing it, I want to be party to it. You see, Christ had given Paul something very special, something we desperately need in these last days, in this time of COVID, the power to walk with God in an attitude of contentment. What did Jesus say about Paul when he first called him to serve? He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Christ is saying, yes, Paul, you are going to walk in my footsteps. I have chosen you because I want you to model how to properly respond to suffering so that you can be an example to believers throughout the ages. Listen, there are people all over the world today who are going through difficult times, who are strengthened and comforted by Paul's attitude to his experiences. What is Paul's secret? Before we explore Paul's big secret, let's quickly look at a couple of things that Paul did not do, and we should not do either. Firstly, Paul did not compare himself to others. You see, comparing yourself to others is a recipe for disappointment. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses, for example. For all you know, they are probably struggling to keep up with themselves. In fact, if you insist on comparing yourself to others, choose someone worse off than you. Compare yourself to a person who is hungry, destitute, and in fear of his life. Then you will find yourself giving thanks to God. And when it comes to such people, we help and support them in any practical way we can. And we pray for them. That is a Christian way. Secondly, Paul did not seek salvation in anything other than in Christ. Paul did not seek out the many philosophers or gurus of his time, the self-help culture leaders with a lot of great advice that their flesh just won't allow anyone to follow successfully. I have no problem with self-help books. I've bought quite a few and I've read a few. They can be useful, just don't put your faith in them. What did Paul do? He sought salvation in Christ alone. He sought salvation in Christ alone. We're talking about secrets here. We're about to explore some of Paul's secrets that we can learn from and therefore apply to our daily walk with Christ. Psalm 25:14 has something to say about this secret. It says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him." And the word fear here actually means to honor and respect him. And the New International Version says the Lord confides in such people. Before I go through Paul's secrets, especially his big secret, I would like to share my testimony, which I believe will help to illustrate what exactly Paul's big secret is. Many years ago, I had a Job-like experience. You know the book of Job? Now, I would not dare to compare my experience to Job's extreme suffering. The comparison really is in the sense of the domino effect or the one disaster after another that Job experienced. I lost my job. My career was virtually finished. My self-esteem went. My health, finance, marriage, children all suffered. I was in a state of depression and sinking lower and lower every day. Eventually, it came to a point when I was just about ready to give up, to throw in the towel, so to speak. Virtually, out of nowhere, God sent a friend, but not just any friend. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I thank God for that friend. My friend and I literally walked together for miles day after day, and we talked and talked. This person did not scold me for my stupidity. He listened, counseled me, prayed for me, advised me, built up my broken self-confidence. Incredibly, this went on for almost 2 years, almost 2 years. Because of this God-sent friend, his prayers and support, my whole life was eventually turned around. You see, I got to know this person extremely well because of our frequent walks, because of our frequent talks, our frequent conversations. I got to know his heart. I grew to love and trust him. In fact, I would trust him with my life. He is still my very best friend today, almost 30 years later. You will see the point of this recount of mine in a few minutes. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Remember that Christ has risen from the dead. He is spirit. Our faith is spiritual. Our walk is spiritual. Faith is like a door to access the spiritual treasures of God in Christ. And the key to that door of faith is belief. Hebrews 11:6 says, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How do we exercise faith in our walk? First, we believe that God is who he says he is. Secondly, we believe in the reality of the rewards he promises. Now we come to Paul's secrets. And these are the secrets we learn as a result of our walk with Christ. First of all, the secret of thanksgiving. Secondly, the secret of the surrendered life. Thirdly, the secret of rejoicing in the Lord. And finally, the big secret. First of all, the secret of thanksgiving. Paul learned to give thanks. You see, there's always something to give God thanks for. Paul wrote in Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. In John 6:11, Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, gave thanks, and immediately a miracle happened. He was able to feed 5,000 people. But back to Paul. How exactly did Paul give thanks? Are there adjectives that describe how Paul gave thanks? Well, in Psalm 9:1, it says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. So giving thanks to God is powerful. The Bible says in Psalm 92, 1 to 2, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare, here comes the declaration, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. The secret of the surrendered life. In Romans 12, 1, Paul wrote, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Paul chose to make himself a living, breathing sacrifice to God, giving up all his personal rights to himself in order to gain the biggest prize in the universe, Christ Jesus. Paul realized he could not be a living sacrifice unless he died to self on a daily basis and put on more and more of Christ. More and more of Christ. The third secret, the secret of rejoicing in the Lord. Paul learned to rejoice. In Philippians 4:4, he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. There must be a reason why Paul mentioned rejoice twice in such a short sentence. Why did Paul rejoice? Nehemiah gives the game away. In Nehemiah 8:10, he said, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Paul realized that he gained spiritual strength when he rejoiced in the Lord. So what is Paul's biggest secret? What is Paul's big secret which allows him to be content in any and all situations, in the whole spectrum of circumstances, from being in need to having plenty? Paul's biggest secret is the recognition that he couldn't do any of what he did alone. Paul had Christ. Paul came to the liberating conclusion that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you remember, I used my physical walk with my friend to illustrate Paul's spiritual walk with Jesus, the believer's spiritual walk with Jesus. That walk with my friend impacted my life. You too, like Paul, can do all things through Christ, who promises to strengthen you whatever your challenge. Paul's big secret, therefore, is his constant walk, companionship, and dependence on Christ. He had built up a trusting, intimate, faithful relationship with the Lord. Therefore, Paul was never truly alone or afraid because Christ was like my God-sent friend who walked with me. Christ was always there beside Paul. Now, from time to time, you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't despair, be comforted when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, you walk through it. You walk through it. You don't stay there. And Christ has promised he will walk with you to guide and protect you. Remember, he has a rod and a staff. The staff is to guide you. The rod is to beat off your enemies. We come to this point where we're again looking at an illustration of the walk, the faith walk, the walk with Christ. So one day, the time when Jesus rose from the dead, he joined the conversation of a couple of men as they walked along the road to Emmaus. They did not recognize him. They wondered why he didn't seem to have heard how they had crucified Jesus of Nazareth, how his body was missing, how his followers' hopes had dimmed, and they were confused. Jesus said to them, hold on, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded or explained to them in all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. We're looking at Luke 24, 26 to 32. So after breaking bread with them, their eyes were opened and Christ disappeared. Listen carefully to what the men said. Christ actually did. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? That was the risen Christ. I'm going to say it again. That was the risen Christ. And that's exactly how he walks with us today. Thank the Lord. Okay, reflection. Don't always seek self-help. Seek Christ's help. Give thanks to the Lord with all your heart. He deserves your thanks. Rejoice in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your continual strength. Become a living sacrifice to the Lord. Let it be, not that you live, but it is Christ who lives within you. That is the way of victory. I'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word of life. Thank you for your continual walk with us. Teach us to be like Paul, who was content just to know you would never leave him, never forsake him. You would always walk with Paul. You will always walk with us. Grant us a heart of rejoicing and a heart of thanksgiving whilst we walk closer and closer with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next.